Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. No, this is not the sermon, but this is what we're going to talk about over the next 6 weeks. You know, we're in this season right now, and I had talked about it a little bit in the bulletin. You can take that home to read it. It's what's called ordinary time. It's the time, ordinary comes from the word ordinal, and it just means it's a time sequentially numbered after Pentecost. And, you know, I put in there that sometimes don't our lives just feel like they're just, for the most part, pretty ordinary, right? We go through our days, we have celebrations in there, but for the most part, we live in the ordinary times. But the ordinary times, it's the time of the Holy Spirit, right? The time that we live in right now is the time of the Holy Spirit, where we feel God's presence most in the gift of the Holy Spirit. So over the next month, we are going to take a look at the letter that St. Paul wrote to the churches in Galatia. And, you know, we tend to think of, it's called the Epistle of St. Paul, but epistle is just a fancy word for letter. So St. Paul wrote a letter to the churches in Galatia. And I'm going to pass this around because I want you to take one and pass it back. Because we're going to do some work over the next month. Don't worry, there's no papers due. This might be what this letter would have looked like. Notice at the top it says, from the desk of Paul, an apostle of Christ. Sometimes when we see something in a book, we forget that it's actually a letter that's written to people. There are two questions that we're going to ask each time we get together over the next month. And those two questions are, what's the main point of this letter that we're focusing on today? And the second question is, how does this apply to my life? And for each person, it's really going to be individual. So let's start. Paul was a mission developer. You're laughing, Marlene. And why are you laughing? Because we're a mission church here. Yeah, we are a New Start congregation in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And it's almost like I can identify with Paul. Certainly not with this letter that he writes. But, you know, it's the time in which Paul is going out and he is starting churches. And churches are the assembly of God's people. And the folks that he's talking to are the Gentiles, or who we call the non-Jewish followers. So there's the Jewish followers of Jesus, and there are now the non-Jewish followers of Jesus. So Paul goes and he starts these congregations that are in Galatia, and he leaves because he needs to go on and start other churches. This mission developer isn't going anywhere, so I just want to let you know that. So he goes and he's going to start some other congregations. And all of a sudden, he gets wind, okay, you know, these mission developers find these things out, that the congregation that he started in Galatia, well, everything that he told them about who Jesus was, all of a sudden, there's new missionaries that are coming in and saying, oh, no, 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 he only told you part of the truth. He didn't tell you everything. And so this really gets Paul upset, because what happens is that these new guys that are coming in, and I can say guys at that time because it was just men who were beginning the churches or recognized as beginning the churches. And so these new men who were Jewish come in and say, oh, no, no, there are things that you have to do first before you can begin to follow Jesus. So you have to follow the old law, the old Jewish law. And here's what the Jewish law is. Gentlemen, you need to be circumcised because that's the covenant that God made with Abraham. And second, you need to now follow the dietary laws of the Jewish people. Then, and only then, can you begin to follow Jesus. How do you think that went over with Paul, who never told them that they had to do these things? Now, if you take a look at this letter, for those of you that have it, don't worry, we're not reading through this whole thing over the course of the next few weeks. We're going to be picking through it. But I want you to notice how this letter is structured, because this is how letters were written back then. Now, I just joked around and put the top there from the desk of Paul, an apostle of Christ. But there would always be a from right up front. There would be a to. There would be a greeting. And the next thing that would usually come, and you can see this in all of the letters or the epistles that Paul writes, and you'll see them in the New Testament, the next thing that comes is what we call the thanksgiving, where Paul gives thanks for the people and all the work that they're doing, right? It's kind of like how we write letters, isn't it? Yeah. We just stick our from down at the bottom. And so that's how it normally follows. And then what's going to happen after that is you're going to come into, okay, so what is the purpose of the letter? So I'm going to read, and you can feel free to follow along, but I'm going to read for you the scripture piece that we are going to cover for today based on how our lectionary is. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia. Now, before I go any further, I want you to imagine that you are the church in Galatia right now. Because what would have happened is when this letter came, not like how we send out letters today, everybody gets their own copy. When this letter came, the church would have gathered all excited that they heard from Paul. And maybe they would have had like what we call a potluck supper. And they would have gotten together and someone would have stood up and read this letter. So, here we go. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to free, to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse, as we have already said. So now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. How might you feel if you heard that letter? I think the people were in shock that there was no thanksgiving and that they immediately heard, I am astonished. Now, this is a new congregation. Half of them are being swayed by the new folks that have come in, and the other half are holding firm. They are really in a conflict that's going on here. And Paul is clearly very upset with them. It's not a cheerful letter. He gets right to the point, because that's how important this message is. It's how important it was yesterday, and it's as important as it is on this very day. Right from the beginning, in that greeting, Paul tells them everything that they need to know. He says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to free, to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. Right there, he says what's happening. And he says it so strongly that he says, even if I were to tell you something different, even if an angel of God were to tell you something different, let them be cursed. Oh my gosh. Let them be cursed. Why is it so hard for the Galatians to accept this gospel message? Why is it so hard that they think that they're not enough? Why is it so hard that they think they have to do something? Well, I'm going to flip it around. Why is this gospel message so hard for us to accept? Why is it that we don't think we are enough? Why is it that we think we have to do something? You know why? Because the world constantly tells us that we are not enough. We are in a consumer-driven world. I'm sure in your mind right now, you could fill in the sentence, I am not enough because. I'm not thin enough. I'm not young enough. I'm not old enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not popular enough. I'm not happy enough. I don't have enough things, right? My house is not enough. My car is not enough. My clothes are not enough. My goodness, my spouse is not enough. And my kids aren't enough. We're told that over and over and over again, aren't we? You can fill in that blank because it's self-talk that happens over and over and over in our heads. But we have to remember, we live in a consumer-driven world. When will it ever be enough for this world? You see, the marketers will always raise the bar because there's something they want to sell you. So you're never going to be enough in this world. Back then, people in Galatia, they were being told, you are not Jewish, you are not enough. This doesn't apply to you. You have to become like one of us. You have to do these things in order for this to be enough. That's not what God's grace is all about. Grace in God is Jesus Christ saying to them, they are enough because Jesus Christ is enough. Paul says to us on this very day, you are enough because Jesus Christ is enough. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ alone, you are enough. You are already in the family. My gosh, that's the good news. If we have to do anything, what good news is that? The good news is that we are already enough. We are God's beloved children. There is nothing that you have to do. That's what is so incredibly freeing. You have been called by God through the Holy Spirit to live in the grace of Christ, and that is the good news. You are part of the family already. Today, I want you to remember these words that Paul says that came to him through revelation through God the Father and Jesus Christ. You are enough, just as you are. And the reason that you're enough is because Jesus Christ is enough. Take a few minutes now to think about these two questions that are here and answer them for yourself. What is the main point of this letter? And how will that mean something different to you on this day?
Amen.